Well, the Democrats are throwing the Hail Mary this coming Wednesday, July the 17th. The Hail Mary being the Bob Mueller subpoena, bringing him in front of a couple of different House committees. There's nothing that's going to come from this. Bob Mueller's going to offer nothing more than is already in the report, but what are Democrats to do? They don't have a message, and currently they don't have a messenger either. I mean, look at Joe Biden. He looks tired. He looked outgunned in the first debates. Bernie Sanders still bringing in plenty of money, but his old curmudgeon act seems to be wearing thin. Kamala Harris, she gets a flash. Mayor Pete, he won't make it. And Liz Warren, maybe she's the candidate. I don't know. Here's my next guest, Liz Peek from Fox News and the Fiscal Times, one of my very favorites. Liz, welcome back.
Good morning. Happy to join you.
Happy to have you here, of course. Right now, I think, and I see this in one of your latest columns, the Democrats have to face up to reality. And the reality is Donald Trump yesterday, the highest poll numbers yet, 45.1, the average on Real Clear Politics, which, by the way, is higher than it was the day that he took office. So they say, but he's in real trouble. He can't win. Of course, we heard that before. Fact of the matter is his numbers are going up. The Democrats have shown me nothing, and they have to come to the understanding he could seriously win re-election.
Well, look, I think it's all they have only themselves to blame. They've allowed a very noisy, fractious group in the Democratic Party, the AOC crowd, if you will, the far-left progressive movement, to really push the party to a point where they're all embracing policies that most Americans disapprove of. You know, that's not the way to win elections, and it sure isn't the way to win back those purple state voters who moved over to Donald Trump's column in 2016, or the blue-collar worker who, again, kind of switched gears, traditional Democrats who, again, voted for Donald Trump. I really think they're sort of stupidly going down a road that has no exit. And look, and they're not stupid. Nancy Pelosi understands this. She's trying to kind of get the party back on track and face down this group that is, you know, it's really vicious. I mean, now we're seeing out-out warfare between these sort of insurgents in the Democratic Party and the traditionalist leaders. But I don't think this ends well. And remember, in fact, I think I wrote about this at the time, Nancy Pelosi, when they took back the House, crowed about how unified the party was. She knew they needed that unity to beat Donald Trump, and they don't have it.
They had 95, I believe it was, Democrats who voted against the $4.6 billion in humanitarian aid for those at the southern border. And I even saw people like Martha Raddatz on ABC News shred Rashida Tlaib, saying, you don't have a defensible position here. You talk about the children and the children and the children, and then you vote against it. Well, you know, it's the right thing to do. You don't have a defensible position. You've got this far radical, far left group. And you're right, Liz, because here's the challenge. You hear the mainstream media talking about how the Republicans are in turmoil. The Republicans don't appear to be in turmoil to me.
Not at all.
You know, Justin Amash left. And so what? He left years ago. It was a formality to finally walk away. Trust me, we know him here in Michigan.
Yeah, and let's remember the people who have really confronted this president, like Jeff Flake, they're not in the business anymore. They're gone. So, look, we have most recently something like 87% of Republicans are on board with this president. That's a pretty impressive polling number at this point in his tenure. What probably the most interesting thing, a lot of people are talking about this Washington Post ABC poll that came out that showed him at the highest polling numbers for in that poll's history, recent history. But one thing that I thought was very interesting, in a generic matchup, it asked voters between Trump and someone identified as a Democratic socialist, who do you vote for? And it was a 6-point win for Trump. But here's the thing, 2/3 of the respondents are either Democrats or independents. So this whole socialist kind of binging on the part of the left is not working. It is not popular. And let me tell you something, whoever runs, they're going to be identified as a socialist by the Trump campaign.
Right.
And that's going to resonate with people because that is still an unpopular thing to be in America.
And then you see the foolishness yesterday of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez tweeting out that a flash flood in Washington, D.C., totally unprecedented, never happened before. Well, It hasn't happened like that since 2001 when there was a bigger one, or a few years before that when it was even bigger. The point being is this radical idea that suddenly the sky is falling, that everything's unprecedented. It's all this thing, and we have to do all of these things and take money away from you and take energy. It doesn't sell. Trust me, in Michigan and Pennsylvania and Ohio and Wisconsin, none of that nonsense sells. And the problem for a person like Joe Biden, who's now on this endless apology tour, it looks like.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, they're just dragging the poor guy to the left. Now, he has lost a step. I think that's hard to argue. You look at him today compared to 10 years ago. I mean, Joe's lost a step, and he can't seem to defend himself against these ravenous leftists. Your thoughts?
Well, and the ravenous leftists want to, you know, want to become president. Kamala Harris is not really a ravenous leftist, but she wants to become the nominee. So she's gone after him. Obviously, on that debate stage, a number of candidates really assailed him. The crime, the sort of political crime perpetrated by Joe Biden was not that he was taken aback on the debate stage. It was that 6 days later, whatever it was, when he was interviewed by Chris Cuomo on CNN, he still didn't have a solid rebuttal to Kamala Harris's charges of race, of past racism.
Correct.
That is inexcusable. And when you say he's missed a step, that's missing an entire flight of stairs. So, you know, unfortunately, Biden, I don't think Biden will be the candidate. I wish he were, to be honest, because I think he's just befuddled and sort of he's rusty beyond imagining.
And he's gaffe-prone, which is just sporting for you and I. I'll give you that. He just says some things
totally
to you.
Totally. And Trump will make mincemeat out of him.
Sure.
I am more worried about someone like Elizabeth Warren, who, you know, she may survive all of this sort of ups and downs of people around her and just steadily move forward in this race and become the nominee. She's not a particularly likable person. And
no.
I can testify to that because she keeps putting dog videos up on Twitter, which makes me crazy. And why is she doing that? Because she knows she's not likable. I mean, the numbers tell her that.
Massachusetts, ever since John Kennedy, though, has a long history of putting forth candidates that get clobbered, and I think she would just be the latest because the proposals she has put forward for free this, free that, free everything, and you and I and working people in mining and construction and labor all get to foot the bill, that doesn't sell well either, Liz.
No, I agree. But certainly her mental acuity is pretty good. And I think she would rattle Trump in a way that Joe Biden is not going to do. But I totally agree with you. Her policies are really out there. I don't think Wall Street can support her. I don't think most industry, as you say, blue-collar workers, are they
no
really going to be for that? I don't think so.
Mental acuity? Well, she is a socialist.
I agree, but she's smart.
No, I'll give you that. I thought that Bernie Sanders had the inside track. Still shows in New Hampshire and Iowa, Biden, Bernie 1-2. We'll see what happens coming down the stretch because Elizabeth Warren is hanging in there and she's putting out policies. I think they're absurd.
Yes,
but at least
she's
putting
minute.
Out policies, yes. But I'll give you 20 seconds for the last word.
No, I mean, look, I think the Democrats, this was sort of inevitable, right? When you have 24 people in the race, there's going to be a lot of infighting. Right now, Trump is benefiting from that. We have a long way to go to the election. But when you're running against a phantom candidate, you don't do as well as when you actually, when people begin to see what the alternative, that's when Trump's polling going up, and that's what's happening now.
Well, certainly, because they start saying, well, you know, the economy's pretty good. Things don't
that's
look
right.
too bad. I am better off than I was 4 years ago. Liz Peek, always a pleasure. You're one of my favorites. Greatly appreciate you being here.
Thanks so much for having me. Have a good day.
There you have it. Liz Peek, everybody. Follow her for sure. We'll be right back on the Steve Gruber Show.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, celebrating 60 years of being the leading voice for business.
I'm Wendy Block, Vice President of Business Advocacy for the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. The Michigan Chamber has been the state's leading business advocacy organization for the past 60 years. Every day we work with state lawmakers in Lansing to promote and support policies that are essential for job creation, economic growth, and free enterprise. Our advocacy team defends business interests and actively promotes pro-business legislative initiatives. Whether it's education, environment, healthcare, or infrastructure, we are committed to standing up for all businesses, large and small. The Michigan Chamber delivers powerful advocacy and business solutions on behalf of our 6,000 members, representing 1 million employees across the state. We are proud to be the leading voice for business in Michigan.
Join the Michigan Chamber of Commerce today at michamber.com. The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the leading voice for business, moving Michigan forward.
Avast ye homeowners, are ye plagued by foreclosure? Well, here at Jim, Lad, and Matey, we can stop your foreclosure now. We're a mortgage rescue company, and for the small fee of everything you hold dear, we will negotiate with your lender on your behalf, and we guarantee results.
Guarantee results.
Aye, the bird speaks the truth. Them's be the benefits of working with a true professional. So don't dilly-dally about. Listen to the wise counsel of your old pal, Honest Jim.
He can't be trusted.
Call Jim, Lad, and Matey at 1-800-YAR-YAR. That's 1-800-YAR-YAR-YAR.
If you're facing foreclosure, make sure you're talking to the right people. Speak with HUD-approved housing counselors free of charge at 888-995-HOPE. That's 888-995-HOPE. Brought to you by NeighborWorks America and the Ad Council.